Some days in our lives bring great joy while others bring deep sorrow. Through it all, God remains faithful. Today, Dad reminds us how the Lord works through every season of life in his sermon, What a Difference a Day Makes. May this message strengthen your faith, whatever day you may be facing.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we rejoice every weekend when we can come and be with you. And we're so thankful that you invite us into your homes or into your cars, or some of these farmers out there in their big tractors, those fancy tractors. When I was on the farm, we used horses. But now, they wouldn't know why these farmers today, with these big machines and everything, I don't think they'd know how to harness a horse. I bet they wouldn't. But what's that got to do with our sermon? We're going to be talking about what a difference a day makes. And before that, I want to just share a couple of the letters, just a few of our letters. The first one comes from Vasco, Macedonia, in Europe. And he writes in this way. Thanks, Mr. Harold, on your friendship. I am Vasco from Macedonia, Europe, and I am a Christian more than 15 years. First, I'm sorry for my English. Pastor Harold, it is a big pleasure to have you for my friend. God bless you, your church, and your family. I'm 40 years old. And I thought, oh, isn't that beautiful, from Macedonia. You know, when you read about Macedonia, you think about Paul. And Paul was going to go into Asia and preach the gospel in Asia. And the Holy Spirit says, no, stop, Paul. I don't want you to go to Asia. I want you to go to Macedonia. And he went to Macedonia, and there was a great turning to the Lord. And these Macedonians were noted for their giving. They gave so much. And the reason that they gave so much was because, this is it, this Bible says, they first gave themselves. They gave themselves to Jesus, gave themselves to God. And then from there, they did their giving. Well, here's one from Love Lady, Texas. And this person writes, I listen to you every Sunday night here in my prison cell. In fact, I wait all week for you to come on again. I never miss it. Thank you for your time and service. You're a big lift for me. I enjoy listening to you. I'm 64 this month myself, and I'm really trying to change my life. You help me. I've been here 7 years, and I might go home Christmas. I hope so. I intend to listen to you every Sunday until, and listen to this, I'm going to listen to you every Sunday until one of us is called home. So he's going to listen until he's called home or I'm called home. And he is, 64, and I'm 98. So one of us is going to go first. And I just am excited about going. Got so many loved ones and see the Lord. And so we'll see, but I'll see him in heaven. One more, and this is Dodge Center, Minnesota. And this, she said, some ministers heard you say you should ask God to forgive your sins because God is the only one who can forgive sins. Is this right? And that is right. And that's in Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. And then she asked another question. When you ask Jesus to forgive your sins and try to do as a Christian would, and give your account before God, can he still say, I never knew you, and send you to hell? No, he can't do that. Because when you accept Jesus, you're saved forever. You'll never be lost. You write this down, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And then she says, I have a third question. And that is, I've heard it said you're in the grave till Jesus comes. And is that true? No, that is not true. The body's in the grave, but this is for the Christian. The body's in the grave, but the spirit and soul go to be with Jesus the minute you die. You remember what Jesus told the thief on the cross? He put his faith in Jesus and accepted Jesus in his heart. And the Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not his body, but his spirit and soul. So if you have a question, you write to us. Just get your pencil and paper ready. I'll give that to you in just a few minutes. We'd like to hear from you, and maybe you have a question we can try to answer. But let's look at our sermon for today. What a difference a day makes. We all live from day to day. And some days are very uneventful and even monotonous. And then some other days are earth-shaking. And something happens to us that we remember for the rest of our life. Some days bring sorrow upon us and we barely get through the day. Other days are filled with joy and we can't contain ourselves. We're so happy. And so we see it in the Bible. What a day made a whole total difference. For instance, you take this shepherd boy, David. The day began as usual and he went to his brothers in the Israeli army. And so he took food to his brothers and he met Goliath and he killed Goliath. And David never was the same since all the rest of his life. The day made a whole difference of a day make. And then we would look at this man thief on the cross that I just referred to. In the morning, he was a horrible, wicked man. And he had another thief that being crucified. And the other thief said, we got it coming. They were, have killed people and they've been murderous people. And he called on Jesus. And he's on his way to hell. And he asked Jesus to save him. And so that night he's in heaven. And what a difference the day made for him. Or then think of godly Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church. And he loved the Lord and he preached the word and taught the word, lived for the Lord. He was brilliant and he was courageous, but he had to pay for it with his own blood because he's put out and they are stoning him to death. And while he's dying, he makes two prayers. He says the first prayer, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. See, he's going to be with the Lord that very minute. And then the other one, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He prayed for those who were killing him. And that's so that in the morning, you see, he's alive and here. In the evening, in that night, he's with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. Or look at Saul of Tarsus. He's a dedicated man, but he's dedicated to the wrong thing. He's trying to stamp out Christianity. And so he goes in all Jerusalem because that's where Christianity began. And he begins to kill all of the Christians and put them in jail. They gave him authority. The priests who had great power in that gave him the authority to do that. And so then after a while, he heard that some of the Christians had gone to Damascus and said, so Paul says, Saul of Tarsus, give me orders. He goes to the priests. Give me the orders and I'll go to Damascus and I'll arrest them there. And on the way to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ face to face and the whole world changed. One day he's an enemy of the things of the Lord. The next day he's willing to die for the Lord and he did die because he loved the Lord and served the Lord. But most of all, I want you to look at a man named Peter and how the change his day made a difference with him. Simon Peter stands out. And when you read about him, he's always listed first among the disciples. And when you talk about him, he's a spokesman for the disciples. And when Jesus has come raised from the grave, and they've all, and the disciples have gone back to fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and he sends word to the disciples. He says, tell them to the disciples and Peter. Jesus singled out Peter. So he was special in the ministry with Jesus. And so here he is, and he loves the Lord, and he's going to die for the Lord. And so when this Peter says, they're going to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says, now you're going to betray me, Peter. And Peter says, although they kill me, I'll never betray you. And so now Jesus is in the judgment hall, and Peter is following afar off. He doesn't want to be identified with Jesus. He's afraid. They might take his life. They'd be glad to do that. And so he follows afar off. And that happens to all of us, so many of us. We just get a little lukewarm. And when we follow Jesus at a distance, we're on unsafe ground. And the devil can get us, and he can get us to do things that we never would ever do. And so that's what Peter's doing, following afar off. And then he goes into the judgment hall and he sits with the enemies of the Lord and he disguises himself and he says, oh no, he's not a follower of the Lord. He doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Doesn't even know him, see? And then came the same temptation and then all that happened. Peter is swearing that a little maid comes to him. I can just see that maid. I bet she had little spindly legs, and I bet she had a long old finger, and she pointed and says, he's one of them. He's one of those who were with Jesus. And when they put the B on Peter, no, he says, I don't know him. And he swore to God he didn't know Jesus Christ. Peter, he wouldn't have believed if you'd have told him that Jesus told him that's going to happen. Peter didn't believe it. And then he no more said, and the cock crew. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. His heart was broken, and it was broken, and he went out bitterly because he was followed the Lord in a far-off way. That's why we have to read our Bible every day, friends, and try to read it in the morning. I always read in the morning. I don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And so I don't know what temptations I'm going to face. And it might be a total different way. I wouldn't have swear I didn't know Jesus, because everybody knows that. But there's other ways for me to sin and maybe be jealous and envious or lose my temper. God only knows what I would do. And you can't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. You just trust Jesus and love Jesus. And so this man, Peter, he's followed afar off. And he swore he didn't know the Lord. And the day closes, and he goes out, and he weeps bitterly. But the day is all over, and it's been a long day. And it's been a day that he will never forget. He will remember that forever and ever. And so here it is. He sees Jesus go to the cross and go to the grave and go to death. And he can see that. And then he comes another day. And there's another day that's going to be brighter. It's not going to be the same. This one day, thank God, it is over with. Peter has done things he never thought he would ever do. And he's out there crying like a baby because he betrayed the Lord. He let him down, and he loved the Lord so much. And so so Peter then goes, and the other disciples, and they were fishermen by trade. And they've seen Jesus die on the cross, at least some of them. Some of them ran before he ever saw the crucifixion. But Peter saw the whole thing, and John saw the whole thing. And when they were done, they went back to Galilee. And they said, well, Jesus, he was going to lead this great movement, and we were going to be a part of it. But they said, we have to give it up. We have to set it aside because he's dead, and that's all over. And so he's at Galilee. And in the morning, one morning, as the next morning, as they get up, and there's a mist. They've been out there fishing. They have getting no luck, and they're catching no fish. And then, so the mist starts to rise. And as the mist clears away and drifts face over what comes over, then they notice that somebody's standing on the shore. And the man on the shore calls to them. Now they're out in the boat. They have no fish. They have no success. And so then this man on the shore, this person on the shore says, children, have ye any meat? And the answer says, no, we haven't caught a thing. And so this person says, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And they did that. And when they did that, lo and behold, they caught so many they almost broke their nets. But when they said, cast it to the other side, John realized it was the risen Lord. And John said, it is the Lord. And Peter, when he heard that, he immediately jumped into the water. He isn't going to row to the shore. He swims to the shore, and he can't get to Jesus soon enough. And then he sees there's Jesus standing, the resurrected Christ. And he has coals of fire, and he has fish, and he has bread. And this man standing, he says, ask him, come and dine with me. And they all sat down around that, and they ate. And what did they talk about? And what did they think? And I know that they're thinking, that the disciples are thinking, what is he going to say to Peter? And I know Peter's thinking, I blew it, and he's done with me. Oh, God, I wish I could live that day over. But you can't live the past over. And he's heartbroken and says, I don't know what we're going to do. And John says, and so they didn't know what to say. As a matter of fact, John writes and he says, none of those durst ask him, thou art, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. And so he says, they're just afraid to talk to him and said, anything. They didn't say anything. And pretty soon Jesus talked and he talks to Peter. And he says, Peter, why did you deny me? Peter, you aren't as strong as you thought you were. Peter, you're a fine example of a follower. Did he say that? Jesus didn't say that at all. Jesus didn't even mention the past. You know what Jesus did? He said this, Peter, lovest thou me? He didn't talk about the cock crowing. He didn't talk about Jesus, about how that he was sore and cursed and everything else. He just said, Peter, do you love me? And he asked that three times. And each time he said, feed my sheep. You know what that tells me? As far as Jesus Christ is concerned, the past is all blotted out. Peter's come back to Jesus and Jesus is accepting him and taking him. And the past, there is no past. Peter is restored. Peter is given another chance. He's telling him when he says, go and feed my sheep, go and feed my lambs. He's calling him into the ministry. He's saying, Peter, I want you to be my servant. I want you to be my minister. I want you to feed my little lambs. And of all of the sheep in the pasture, he loved the lambs the most. And he's sending him to do that. And there's, see, Peter says, it's a new day. It's a new day according to the sun coming and going, but it's a new day in my life because instead of weeping and because of his bitterness of his sin against Jesus, Jesus is recommissioning him and he says, Peter, I want you to work for me. I want you to take care of my lambs, the most precious thing that I have. It's glorious and it's encouraging and it is absolutely wonderful. Yesterday men have been black and bleak and dead today, but today is a different day. Today the sun is shining. Today Jesus is blessing him. Jesus is restoring him. And you can find enthusiasm, Peter, and you can find hope, and you can find joy, and you can find forgiveness, and you can find a reason for living. Forget the past. I'm not even talking about the past. When Jesus says, I'll blot them out. God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I've got my sins in my past. And wouldn't you like to see them? Wouldn't you like if I say, well, you come downtown to come down to my church tonight and I'll show you a movie of my past sins. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be there. And God wouldn't be there either, because when he forgives our sins, he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God doesn't even know my sins of the past. And I think about those sins, and it's a bad thing to do, because when you do that, it hurts you. You see, why do you think of your sins of the past? You know why? Because the devil brings it to your attention. Because the devil knows you're sorry for those sins. But the devil knows, too, you can't do a thing about it. Because that is past, and you can't change the past. And so he devils you with it. And especially if you have some sickness, or you get down a little bit, and then you say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which way to turn. And I'm lost for sure. And so God says, past is all gone. Yes, that's the gospel, the risen Christ. And when you read the New Testament, look at all the new things it has in the Bible. The New Testament, the new covenant, the new creature, the new man, the new birth, the new commandment, the new name, the new song, a new heaven, a new earth, a new life. Just let it go. Put it behind you, this wonderful Jesus. And Peter used to probably wonder, will he ever take me back? But he found out that Jesus had his arms wide open, took him back. A pastor is telling the story of how that he was called to a dying woman. She was dying of AIDS. and she asked her pastor to come and give her some words of comfort. Her emotional pain was as real as her physical pain, and everything seemed hopeless in this poor woman. The woman said, "I'm lost. I've ruined my life and every life around me. I'm headed to hell. There's no hope for me." And the pastor saw a framed picture of a pretty girl on the dresser, and he said, "Who is that?" And the woman says, "That's my daughter. She's the only beautiful thing in my life." "Would you help her?" he said. "Would you help her if she was in trouble? No matter how many mistakes she made, would you give her a second chance? Would you take her to your arms no matter what?" And the woman said, "Of course I would. Why should you ask such a stupid question?" And because the pastor said, "I want you to understand that God has a picture of you on his dresser too. And he loves you and he'll take you back like the prodigal son." And that's why I love to preach the gospel. I never get tired after 76, 75 years. It's the most wonderful story in the world. God loves you. And if you come to him just like Peter, no matter if you cursed him and didn't even take him, maybe you've taken his name in vain, but like Peter, he came back and he found like the prodigal son. And don't clean up and come back. Come just the way you are. The prodigal son had been taken care of in the pig pen. And for a Jewish boy, that's the worst place in the world. He can't eat pork, and he's taking care of those porkers. And then he's coming back, and he sees his father. And his father has his arms wide open, and the boy smells just like an old pig. But the boy, God takes him. The father takes him. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to don't clean up. Just come just the way you are. And you say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll follow the best I can." Thank you, Jesus. You could pray that right now with me. Just pray it right now. And God will forgive all of your sins. And that father took that boy and took him to himself. And the boy started a new life and a clean life. One old pastor says, don't clean up to come to Jesus. Come just the way you are, because God doesn't clean his fish until he catches them. You come as dirty and as filthy and as evil as it is. No matter what it is, come and pray that prayer, and God will come to your heart. He'll wash away your sins. And then you need to turn from your sins the best way you can. You'll never be perfect. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. And when we sin, we just ask Jesus, like in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know why he does that? Because it's the grace of God. Do you know of all the religions in the whole world, none of them has grace but Christianity, Jesus. And grace simply means he's going to give us something we don't deserve. We don't deserve for Jesus to die and pay for our sins, but he did it. And he did it, it says in Hebrews, it says, who for the joy that was set before him went to the cross and endured the shame of the cross. He was glad to do it. He loves you and he wants you to come. And that's what I did when I was 10 years old. I just came in that night in a country schoolhouse and the pastor said, if you want Jesus, you come and we'll pray with you. And that's what he prayed. You could pray it with me right now. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you did that, you're saved. And the past, do like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I for just put them behind me. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I put my eyes on Jesus. Turn from the past and turn to Jesus. And read your Bible and pray and get into a church where they're preaching the gospel and to live for Jesus the best you can. And someday I'll see you in heaven. And if you want literature, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We have a little Bible study that we put out. And this little Bible study is about this wonderful Jesus, a never-failing friend. And it's all Bible verses. and we send it free in postpaid. Just write to us. And it's on the screen there, and all our shortwave people. We have shortwave people in the persecuted church worshiping with us right now. If you want to write to us, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we also need to have your help. It costs us to carry this on, and we're not underwritten by any church or organization or institution. We're underwritten by God's people as God lays it on his people. So you pray, dear Lord, do you want me to support this? Is something this you want to do? And then the God will tell you, maybe he said, no, give it somewhere else. Be sure you give it, see? But maybe he'll say yes. They've been there for 40 years, and God's supplied our needs all the way through God's people. And so you just send that gift to us. And if you say, I don't know how they'll spend it, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's all accounted for. Now I want to pray for you. And in our church, in our prayers, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're praying for the church in Yemen. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Yemen. We pray that we just thank you for their faith. It makes our faith stronger. And someday we're going to see them, and they're going to wear the martyr's crown. And won't that be something? So bless them. Lord, be with those who are on beds of sickness. Be with the shut-ins that can't get out. Be with the young people that have such fears, temptations, and the precious little children, Lord. Not kids, but children. And they're praying for you to come into their heart. And so we just thank you that you love all of us. And I want to say just thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to close as I close every day, every service. And that is, first of all, God loves you. You say, I don't see how. Don't try to figure it out. Take God at his word. He proved his love by the gift of his son. And so God loves you. And Jesus is God. He loves you too. And the Christian Worship Hour, most all of us are volunteers. And many are giving the services that way because they love you. And I want to tell you, I gave my whole life because I love you. 75 years now, I'm 76 years. And I can tell the good news of the gospel. And of all of the people I preach to all over the world, there isn't anyone that's hopeless. The only hopeless people are dead. There's no hope then. But if you have one breath of life, like the thief on the cross, ask for Jesus to come into your heart and you're saved. And I'll see you in heaven.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.